without a Savior. That's why Paul shouted out, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" You and I, friend, we need a Savior. Because the wages of sin is death. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Someone asked me, I think it was Steve asked me, about what to say to a Jewish person right before they die. Which Old Testament verse should I quote for them? Deuteronomy 6:4 or Deuteronomy 4:6. And I said to him, neither. Neither's going to take away your sins. What do you say? You say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I plead the blood over my sins. And I receive the Son of God. May his blood cleanse me from my sins like the Bible. That's your only hope. Is that the one who died for you, that his blood would cover over your sins. There's no Old Testament verse in the world that's going to deliver you from sin. Only blood. Only blood. That's why we sing about it and thank and praise God for it. In whom we have redemption, that is to pay the price with a ransom. The ransom was his blood. The victim was you. The Savior, his name is Jesus. And he took your place, shed his blood. God, this is this big word. I'm going to read the verse for you. The word you read is called propitiation. We're about to get to in a minute. Propitiation means an acceptable sacrifice. That means God said, all right, I'll honor that. Here's the verse, Romans 3:23 and 24. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. And this, Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, and he obtained eternal redemption. There's that word again, right? Each time we read redemption, we read blood. And we read, you? That's good news. He took you out of the slave market. You were standing as a slave. And Jesus said, I'll take you, 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 you. I'll take you, I'll take you, I'll take even you, Richie. And here's the price, my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You see, someone has to die for Richie and me to get saved and everybody else. Someone had to die. Back for Adam and Eve's time, it was a poor, innocent animal. Never did anything wrong. Back in our time, it's the poor, innocent Son of God who never did anything wrong either. Hebrews 9, that's where I was at. Verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all. Meaning it's not going to happen again. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Like you see some images of Jesus still on it. He's not on a cross anymore. He's off the cross. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's not on a cross. He's ruling and reigning in heaven. He's not on a cross anymore. You can't spit in his eye, rip out his beard. He's in heaven. He's not on the cross. He's victorious over the cross. You guys got me wound up now with that music. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, capital S, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And this from the Apostle Peter. He says, knowing you were not redeemed, notice the pattern here. Here again, we're going to have redeem your soul and the one agent, blood. Notice, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Up. No one's going to buy you out of this either. No purgatory. I don't care how much money Uncle Leroy has. He ain't buying you out anywhere. There's only one thing to set you free. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Not with silver, not with gold, and not with prayers. Only one thing. That's what we're here to celebrate today. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, even mine and yours. Knowing that, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Can you imagine that? My family had to do that. My family gave probably 50 acres in Madison, New Jersey, to the Catholic Church to buy my grandfather out of hell. Purgatory. That property now is probably worth in the three-digit millions. And isn't God perfect in all of his ways? That if I would have inherited that when I was a kid, I'd be dead, wouldn't be here right now. I would have killed myself with all that money back when I was 20 years old. I wouldn't be here today. Isn't that proof once again that all things work together for good? You can lose everything that you have. And all things work together for good to those that love God. The Esposito family lost it all. No one can take my joy that I have this morning. I'm the happiest man on earth. And my family lost everything to the Catholic Church. You're not redeemed by silver or gold or prayers. Prayers don't redeem you. Blood redeems you. Blood. I wonder how long this video will stay on YouTube, Darren. Noah, let's try it for a third time to get through this verse. Knowing that, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Yeah, your grandfather and your dad told you how to do it this way, right? At least for them. There is no grandfather in the faith back for when Peter wrote this. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's 1 Peter 1:18. Now, you want to take away the blood out of your hymnal? You're either a devil or you're a fool. After everything that we just read, you want to take blood out of the hymnal? Where would you be without the blood of Jesus Christ? You want to take it out of your hymnal? Here's just a few for disregarding or not recognizing. I like that one better. Not recognizing the power of the blood and the significance of the blood. This is why we do communion the way that we do. Listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 11:27. This is what I always usually read to you, almost every communion. Paul says, wherefore, whosoever will eat this bread and drink this cup is communion. Whoever will eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself, and so let him eat and drink. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Just like the Indiana Jones movie, you've chosen poorly. Remember that? Drinks the cup there, he turns into a skeleton and a hair. He says, he's chosen poorly. Don't you remember that movie? He grabbed the wrong cup and drank from it and it killed him. That's biblical. That's what he's saying here. When you take something like the blood of Christ and treat it in a flippant manner, like communion, and treat it like Hawaiian punch and Twinkies, he says, this is what can happen to you. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, or really a better word is judgment, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Meaning there's more there to this communion than you realize, friend. It's not Hawaiian punch and Twinkies. There's more to the blood of Christ than that. Guilty of the blood. What do you think of that crime now? Knowing what you know now about the significance of the blood. Here's one more. Hebrews 10. Verse 26 says, if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Man, oh man, do you understand the importance and the significance of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? You and I are redeemed by the power, or you and I are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I overcome all evil forces in this world by the blood of Jesus Christ. We just sang the song, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. One more. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood. But the reason that Satan hates the blood so much is because of its significance and its power, and it's the only cure for sinful man is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that redeems us. The blood pays the ransom. All right, now we're talking about the blood of Christ here this morning. Here's a few more. When we leave here this morning, we'll have a working knowledge of the Savior's blood and its power. This is my sermon here. Revelation 1:5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5:9. They sang a new song. This is up in heaven. Saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. For you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. The last one, Revelation 12:11, speaking of the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now remember, when you get to Revelation, it's a symbolic book. You got to understand what the symbols mean. The Lamb is the Son of God. The dragon is the devil. So that's all. It's just apocalyptic. You just got to understand what the symbols mean. It's not that difficult. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Easy to understand. We've got the victory due to the blood of Jesus Christ. We overcome Satan in this world by the blood. And by the word of our testimony. That means I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. Take it up with him. He's my Savior. I've received him. Take it up with him. That's how we overcome. All right, verse 11. Move on just a little bit here. Paul writes, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, capital H, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Here's another for our heavenly bank account that we looked at, started last week, inheritance. Funny too, this word for obtain means to cast lots. And the lot fell on you. But what the Bible says, that's not by chance. But the lot has fallen on you for obtain. Of him, in him, we have obtained, the lot has fallen on you to receive Jesus Christ. And it's no accident. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. You know, who would you rather inherit from? Your Aunt Thelma's Lawrence Welk radio collection? Or Jesus Christ, would you rather inherit from God or something meaningless here on earth? In him, in Christ, you and I have received an inheritance. Think about that. Of all the inheritances you've gotten in your life or haven't got, or someone robbed from you, someone stole from you, some devil took, some politician took, some thief broke in and stole. You and I have an inheritance in Christ. In him, we have obtained, that's by lot. The lot has fallen on you this morning. No one can take it. What do you do with it? Yeah. Romans 8:17 says, you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Think about it. You are the next of kin. We are heirs of God. An heir. You're going to inherit his stuff, but he's not going to die. But you're still the next of kin to an inheritance. Listen to what Peter wrote. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. And then he wrote, reserved in heaven for you. Ever been to one of those banquets before where there's a little placard there on the table and it's got your name on it? That's what he's saying here. It's reserved in heaven for all of you who have called on the name of the Lord Jesus and received him as your Lord and Savior. There's a giant banquet table and there's a little card, and on that card is your name.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. I did not make it. No, it is making me.
Wonderful in grace, and you love me. Jesus, and I love you completely.
Let's try that. I've never known anyone like you.
I have never known anyone like you. I have never known anyone like you.
You are awesome in your power.
You are awesome in your power. You are wonderful in grace, and you love me.
You love me.
I have never known anyone like you. No, I have never known anyone like you. You are awesome in your power. You are wonderful in grace. Don't you love me completely? And
that I have never known anyone like you.
No, I have never known anyone like you, Jesus. I have never known anyone like you. For you are awesome in your power. You are wonderful in grace, and you love me.
I love you.
And I love you completely. I love you.